on the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinair.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So glad to have you along. Thank you for joining us. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin's on the board. You can always call in or text. Same number, 844-967-2789. Or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. 844-967-2789. Changing things up just a little bit from the last hour. Dan Schaefer was just here recombobulating. Want to lighten things up a little bit and offer congratulations to a woman who released this song 65 years ago. And it has now topped the Billboard Hot 100 for the first time ever. Congratulations to 78-year-old Brenda Lee, who's rocking around the Christmas tree. Play it, Calvin.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party.
Brenda Lee was 13 years old when she recorded this in 1958. It was a moderate hit. It wasn't a huge hit, but it's always been, it's a classic, right? It's one of those classic Christmas songs.
You've heard it everywhere.
Yes, for decades and decades and decades. Brenda Lee tells Billboard, "I'm happy for everyone here that worked so hard to make this happen, because in today's world, everything moves so fast and furious, but my label has come to bat for me." So there's actually, Brenda Lee also just joined TikTok and filmed a new video to honor the song's anniversary by guest appearances by Tanya Tucker and Trisha Yearwood.
Oh, I love those ladies.
And I believe Brenda Lee now has become the oldest artist to ever have a number one hit on the Billboard Top 100.
Couldn't have happened to a better person.
Yeah, and I love her. We will embed the video of her. It's, again, she's 78 years old.
Yeah, still singing, still performing.
Still performing, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, well done. Congratulations, big shout out to Brenda Lee for number one on the Billboard Top 100. Started us talking about favorite classic Christmas songs and favorite newer Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
So we would love to know yours. What's your favorite classic Christmas song? What's a newer one? Say the last 20 years, that would be newer. 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Greg Bach, your favorite classic Christmas song.
Hands down, without a doubt, Oh Holy Night. Like the
choir.
And I've told you, I will cry every time I hear that song. It is just gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous.
It is.
And it's so, like, for a Christmas song, it's just so emotional and beautiful. And yes, it's the one where I'm like, I need a moment.
And I think it's one of those songs, so many Christmas songs, if you can hear them sung by a choir,
mm-hmm.
you will get chills.
Absolutely. I think for me to get really chilled up, there has to be some vocals. It can't just be an instrumental version, but still it's a gorgeous, gorgeous song. It's my favorite. I don't know if it's classical. Like, I don't even know how old the song is.
Oh,
like,
that's pretty. I think that's pretty old.
It's an olden one. Let me check it out.
Because I can remember hearing that in church when I was a kid.
I mean,
so that's going back several hundred years.
I was going to make a joke
about my age.
No.
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. If you would like to share your favorite classic Christmas song, your favorite newer Christmas song, give us a jingle or comment on the live stream.
Jingle.
Give us a call.
Jingle bells.
Jingle. There you go. Doc from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Doc. Thank you so much for joining us on As Goes Wisconsin. How are you doing?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you. My favorite all time would have to be the Christmas song sung by Nat King Cole.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And then this is a song, Silent Night, but I don't know if it's very new, but you don't get a lot of airplay on this song, but add this to your list, Mr. Bach, that when you hear it, you will tear up. Silent Night, sung by the Temptations.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay. I bet that's great.
I will add it to the list. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much for chiming in, Doc. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party. Well, you, what's your favorite classic Christmas song?
My favorite classic Christmas song, it's kind of an odd one.
Mm.
I like Eartha Kitt, Santa Baby.
There you go. There you go. Get it, you know.
Calvin, can you rack that up?
Santa Baby, just slip a sable under the tree.
I love this song.
She's so pretty.
Santa Baby. I love this song. Yeah. And I know Madonna did a remake of it that was a pretty big hit.
Yeah.
This one is still better.
Santa Baby.
I'm just saying.
Hey, it's your choice. This is your choice. And by the way,
there's no wrong answer, right?
Joseph McClear got to us on the live stream, as always. The greatest Christmas song of all time is easily Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Even Jesus would agree.
That's quite a statement, Mr. McClear.
Wow, just because you share the same name as a stepdad doesn't mean you get to make, like, assumptions. I found O Holy Night was actually written and released in 1843.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was pretty, that goes back quite a ways.
It's an olden.
We're taking your calls and your texts on your favorite old classic Christmas song and your favorite newer Christmas songs. Tom from Grafton is on the line. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. There's a lot of songs I like. There's so many that are so good. There's one that you folks probably haven't heard. It was done by a band leader called Walter Schumann, and he died young, I guess, in the late 50s, I think. But he did a song called Christmas in the Air. I like, Perry Como. He has some great songs. He had an album that was Stereo, actually, in 1959, some great songs, too, of the old stuff. There's a new one I like, too. It's by a Christian band called Mercy Me, and it's Silent Night. It's kind of a country version. That's a great song, too, if you have a chance to listen to it.
Cool.
All right.
We will add that to our library.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789, your favorite classic Christmas song, your favorite more contemporary Christmas song.
What's your more favorite? Oh, Calvin, I'm sorry. What about you, buddy? What's on the turntable? At the old homestead.
For our resident young person.
You know, I was going to be a Scrooge and say I didn't really like Christmas music. But looking back to some Christmas songs from the 60s, I did find some I like.
All right.
I like Silver Bells. Turns out I'm partial to the Andy Williams composition.
Which is great.
Fantastic.
That's a great one.
American Treasure.
I also like Sleigh Ride. We always played that song when I was in band in middle school, so I like that version. But I also like the version by the Ronettes.
Oh, it's nice.
What did you play in band?
I played the trumpet.
Oh.
Do you still play, or is it like...
I can maybe play a scale.
Hey, that's more than I can play.
Hey, we're working on the Civic Media band.
Yeah. Oh, I get triangle.
You get triangle. Great. And then Calvin's on the trumpet.
All right. Ron, that's a good one.
Texter from the 541 says, Silent Night is a mood for me. I have various memories associated with it, but generally I prefer Christmas music that's older than Mariah Carey.
All right. We got a text from the 608 saying Bing Crosby's White Christmas, and that's from the Madison Plumber.
Oh, nice.
And speaking of Mariah, so there's Christmas. So do we have a caller?
We do. Larry from Waukesha is on the line. Good morning, Larry. What's your favorite classic Christmas song and your favorite more contemporary one?
Yeah, I guess this would be more contemporary, although I think it is probably 35 years old.
Okay.
Would be, this one just does it for me. I have to play it multiple times for the year. And that's Silent Night off the Mannheim Steamroller Christmas album. No vocals. It is just an instrumental, but it just, I don't know, it clicks for me.
No, I get it. I get it.
I bet it's so powerful and right and just so moving, and it just sends chills through your body.
Mm-hmm.
because you just, if you can find it and play even a snippet of it, I mean, it's just, it's wonderful.
Thank you so much, Larry. Really appreciate the call. 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party!
If you want to check in on this with your favorite classic Christmas song.
I feel like we have to talk, we can wait till after we can talk about modern Christmas songs.
Yes. I have one that I like really, very, very much.
Yeah.
A texter from the 715 from Stevens Point, listening on WFHR. My favorite Christmas song is Senor Santa Claus. By Jim Reeves. My favorite album, Christmas with Eddie Arnold.
Oh, Eddie Arnold. If you haven't listened to Eddie Arnold, get Eddie Arnold in your life. He was one of the great, just
I guess
country vocal, like, crooners. He was a crooner type. More of a, he wasn't singing about, like, hard times in my beer. He was, like, singing songs about love and I love you, and you're just a good voice.
Eddie Arnold just never even pops in my head when I think about music.
What does he pop into your head to when you think about, like,
wasn't Eddie Arnold the guy on Green Acres?
No, that was
someone will correct me.
Something Arnold.
Excellent. We've got that narrowed
Arnold
down.
Drummond from that TV show.
Sure. Okay. If you want to check in with your favorite classic Christmas song, your favorite contemporary Christmas song. We started talking about this off the air because Brenda Lee, at the age of 78, finally has a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 with Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Get it, Brenda.
And it got kind of a second life, I want to say. It was in the movie Home Alone.
Yep. Oh, that movie's, that song's been in tons of movies. Yeah, I mean, that's what's been happening past couple of years. These TV shows and movies are revisiting these songs and they're hitting the charts and revitalizing careers.
And introducing them to
younger generation.
Younger generations. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to keep this going. Stay with us. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. 844-967-2789. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We're across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
It's Christmas time, my dear, and we said no gifts this year. I got one question, if you'd let me. What did you get me? Is it a tie?
No.
An ugly sweater?
Nuh-uh.
Matching pajamas?
No.
So something better?
Uh-huh.
Is it bougie like Gucci?
No.
Man, I thought I had it.
Now, baby, you're looking at it. Come on.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for listening in Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR, or if you're in Hayward, listening on the Buzz of the North, WBZH. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is producing, and you can always join in at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
We're talking about Brenda Lee at the age of 78, racking up a number one hit, the Billboard Hot 100 for Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And that got us talking about our favorite classic Christmas songs, our favorite newer Christmas songs. That one that Calvin just bumped in with is brand new, and it's actually from Jimmy Fallon and Meghan Trainor. And it's called Wrap Me Up, and it's really pretty cute.
It's fun. I like that. It's a fun time. We got some text, too. We got a text from 262, John in West Bend. Combination of classic and contemporary would be God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen / We Three Kings by Bare Naked Ladies.
I love that song, and that is my favorite contemporary.
That's your favorite?
Okay. Yep, that's my favorite.
And then this one I was actually going to mention when caller brought up Mannheim Steamroller from the 262, Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song, newer, and then Christmas Canon by Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Yeah, TSO is pretty great, too.
That is you go to that show, you're just goosebumps from the moment they...
They're in Wisconsin. I'm pretty certain they're in Wisconsin. TSO's in Wisconsin this month.
Yeah, I believe so. If not, they love Wisconsin.
Yep, they really do. Jim from Appleton also texting in, my favorite classic holiday song is Carol of the Bells. My favorite newish song is Father Christmas by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. I do not know that song.
Newish, dude.
Newish.
Was that wrong song written in like 1977? ELP. I love Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, but wow, that's probably a 19 minute song.
Is it really?
Oh, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
They tended to prog rock. What was it?
Prog rock, like progressive rock, like Rush. Yes.
Really long cuts.
Long cuts, very intricate musicianship. Like you can't just go into your garage and say, let's play that ELP song.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. What's your favorite classic Christmas song, your favorite more contemporary Christmas song? Call and or text or leave a message on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. From the 262, my classic would be the Christmas Song from Nat King Cole.
Okay.
That's a good one. Contemporary Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Carol of the Bells, Corny But Good, Paul McCartney, Wonderful Christmas Time.
Love that song.
Do we have that, Calvin? No.
We can get it, but trust me, we got plenty of time before Christmas. We can play another time.
That's true.
920 says, the album Socks by J.D. McPherson is my... Oh, I just advertised. That's fine. J.D. McPherson just released a Christmas album called Socks. So if you like Christmas music, check out J.D. McPherson. I don't know this J.D. McPherson. That's a very hard name to say. J.D. McPherson.
All right. Another texture, that cool medley with Sarah and Barnard Lady. And Bare Naked Ladies. It says Barnard Ladies. Three Kings. We have the Bare Naked Ladies, don't we?
God rest you. Every gentleman, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort.
I love this song.
Nothing like a Christmas song that says mentions Satan.
Well, they didn't write that. That was the
song.
I'm
not complaining. I'm a metalhead. I love any songs that invoke Satan.
I think that is such a cool song, and it just makes me happy.
Yeah. We got a live stream comment from Tony Hornung. How about Ragnar the Flat-Nosed Reindeer, novelty? I don't know. Ragnar the Flat-Nosed Reindeer, a novelty tune from the 60s. Otherwise, anything from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. TSO getting all the love.
Yep, TSO getting lots of love.
Yeah.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Texter from the 608, listening on Mad Radio, WMDX, Stevie Nicks' Silent Night. Chokes me up.
That's good.
I didn't realize she had a Christmas album.
I have a feeling nowadays almost every single artist has one, but let's go. Do we have a caller again?
We're just getting Jimmy K.
All right.
Jimmy K is on the line from Madison. Good morning, Jimmy. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you all?
Excellent. Thank you. What's your favorite classic Christmas song?
I don't really have a favorite classic music song, but it's for the local music fans out there. And Greg, you said you're a metalhead.
I am.
I would suggest checking out the Madison Area Christmas compilation albums that came out about 10 years ago. It's a compilation of about 20 local bands from the Madison area, punk rock Christmas. They do covers of some traditionals, but they also have some originals. It's not for the children, though.
Christmas songs, not for kids.
Thank you. We appreciate that. It's Christmas songs with a parental advisory sticker.
Thank you, Jimmy. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. What's your contemporary favorite?
None of mine are contemporary, like the Meghan Trainor, Jimmy Fallon song. They're all older.
Okay.
I would say I love Paul McCartney, but we've said that one, right? Last Christmas by Wham. And I told you I was going to tell you a small story before, which is there was a couple that tried to raise money to buy the rights to that song, and they said if they bought the rights, they would never play it again.
Wow.
I was like, that's mean. Turn it off. If you don't like it, you don't punish people. Like, just don't be that way. That's not Christmas spirit. And by the way, they didn't do it.
They didn't do it. All right. Well, Rico, I see you on the line. We're going to have you hang on just for a little bit. We have news coming up, and then we will continue our conversation about Christmas music. This all stems from Brenda Lee at the age of 78, finally hitting a number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree that was released 65 years ago.
Good work, Brenda.
Good work, Brenda. Absolutely. You can check in with us. Call, text, leave a message on the live stream, and stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. You can always join us. Call and or text at 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're listening on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. And before we join Pam Yonke, who is here to talk about being a fabulous farm babe, we're going to finish up on talking about Christmas songs, your favorite classic, and your favorite newer Christmas songs. 844-967-2789. Rico from Rock County is on the line. Thank you for your patience, Rico. What did you want to say?
Yeah, I think classically speaking, one of my favorites has always been The Little Drummer Boy. I just love that song. But something that's a little newer and I thought was really creative and funny, I think come out around 2000, was the takeoff off of 12 Days of Christmas, but it's called The 12 Pains of Christmas. Hangovers. You plug one in, they all go out. That song to me was very creative, very funny song. I loved it the first time I heard it.
That's great, Rico. We will take a look for that and see if we can't add it to our library. Really appreciate it. And a couple more texts that I wanted to get to before me move on. My favorite is Joni Mitchell, Wish I Had a River to Skate Away On.
Nice.
I am not familiar with that one. Eurythmics, Winter Wonderland from the 608. Burl Ives, Holly Jolly Christmas. And from the 301, The Kinks, Father Christmas. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
That's a new one to me. Yeah. All right. We are going to move along. I am so happy to have you with us. Pam Yonke is the fabulous farm babe. She is a wonderful broadcaster in Wisconsin and now officially a member of the Civic Media family. Good morning, Pam. How are you doing?
I am glad to be with you, Jane. My apologies for not being able to get ahead of all of the Christmas jingle songs out there. I was distracted myself.
Hey, you're busy. You got a lot of things on your plate. So when can people hear you on the Civic Media Network? When and where?
Sure. So as I understand it, right now we're on six radio stations, part of the Civic Media family. Our 5 to 6 show is live each weekday morning. I believe that we are on in the Fox Valley, across some of central Wisconsin and western Wisconsin as well. So just kind of getting started, you know, technical issues are something to overcome. But we're really happy that we finally got it all pulled together. And many thanks to you, Jane, for helping to get the conversation started.
Well, I am just overjoyed to have you as part of the Civic Media family, because I think you bring such a valuable perspective, Pam, especially for those of us, you know, we're in Waukesha. I live in Milwaukee, but you talk to people all over the state, especially in our farm community, and our farming community is so vitally important to the state. And I think you hear perspectives that some of the rest of us don't always get to hear. So what are you hearing from farmers in Wisconsin right now?
Right now, they're still wrapping up end-of-the-year books. So we get purely focused, as many business owners can understand, on trying to figure out how we should manage our finances for the end of the calendar year. Corn and soybean production this year was a little bit better than we initially thought because of all the drought that we were worried we were going to have to battle. So we actually ended up with better yields for both corn and soybeans than we had expected. So that's a little bit of, that's a nice situation. Now, dairy producers are probably under a little bit more duress, a little bit more stress, because the milk market has not been quite as rosy as it was for a year ago, for example. But all in all, I think 2023 has been at least above average in a lot of ways, especially compared to our expectations. And then as you and I had initially discussed, we're also keeping our eye on policy development. Now, the Farm Bill, which was something that we were hoping was going to be reauthorized and ready to go by the end of September, was, surprise, surprise, not done. And so to try to make sure that we do not get caught up in the snarl that will be the election of 2024, they've essentially put in a long-term extension to allow us to get past that and keep fundamentally critical programs that are implemented by USDA under the Farm Bill in place, namely women, infants, and children, school lunch programs. A lot of the things, again, to your point, that people never think about with the Farm Bill.
Right.
The Farm Bill is really, folks, 70% of those programs make up 70% of our budget. Then the rest happens to go to agriculture through different programs, grants, incentives, et cetera. So that's really what we've been looking at, is where is the Farm Bill going to be focused on in 2024?
Yeah, the Farm Bill, as you said, it encompasses so many different things and so many different programs, not just for farmers.
No, and that's one thing. The Farm Bill itself, just the name, is kind of a misnomer. But I've had pointed out to me by elected officials in Washington, D.C., if we change the name of the Farm Bill or we remove the women, infant, children, all the food support programs, all of the things that are not connected to production agriculture, we'll never get another Farm Bill done, because nobody understands agriculture in Washington, D.C. anymore, or the need for some of the critical programs. Some of the things that are in the Farm Bill that are so very important to farmers everywhere: crop insurance. Look at how radically different our weather is today than when we were kids.
Absolutely.
Crop insurance is a critical risk tool that we absolutely must have. There are environmental programs out there. Farmers want to do right by the land, but holy crow, is that technology expensive. So having grant programs that can help them do barnyard runoff, buffer strips, and so on and so forth is critical. Export programs. Our foreign ag service is there, creating relationships with worldwide partners that are looking for Wisconsin cheese, Wisconsin butter, cranberries, ginseng, et cetera. So like I said, there is a, that's an onion, baby. You start peeling and you better be ready.
Well, as you said, at least they gave you an extension, so it's not going to run out, but we're going to be back in this same place. Then again, further down the road, Congress does seem to love to kick that can for as long as they can.
Yes.
But again, for at least for now, these programs are going to stay in place. If you're just joining us, Pam Yonke is our guest. She's the fabulous farm babe and is now part of the Civic Media family. Early morning show, 5 to 6. Of course, you grew up on a farm. You're a farmer. What time do you get up in the morning?
I'm in the office by 2.
Oh,
this morning I had too much brain power going on. I was in about 10 minutes to 2. So.
Okay, hold on. You just blew my mind.
10 to 2 a.m.
Yeah.
What time did you go to bed?
Well, see, that's what people always forget. Farm babe has a life too. I got a husband. I got two Sheltie dogs.
Farm babe likes to party.
And that farm babe does like to have a very social side to her life. So some nights I might be dragging my hind quarters to bed at about 6, and sometimes it's closer to 10. And the other thing is, you know how this goes, Jane. People invite you to be an MC or a guest speaker, or there's a night meeting that's really important. Or I can't say no. Hence why I was a couple minutes late for the show. I can't say no. I had a veterinarian in my office, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, I gotta go.
I produce a show, a 6 a.m. show. I get up at 4 to get here by 5. And man, let me tell you, that job has allowed me to say no to everything.
Good on you, man.
Can't do it. Sorry, I got to go to bed at 8. Wish I could.
Yeah, no, good on you. It's all about the people. If people are in town, you know, guests. World Dairy Expo is one of my best and worst moments. It is a reunion in so many different regards because I've been going to that show basically my whole life. So it's like a family reunion when you go. Mm-hmm. But you don't, the show doesn't stop at the end of the show.
Right.
And I have a terrible proclivity for my farm broadcast buddies that are too cheap to buy a hotel. So they flop over at Yankees, and that turns into nothing good for the
Dairy
next morning.
Dairy Expo after dark.
Where are we staying? We're staying at the Fabulous Farm.
We're going to Yankees place.
That's it. You sound very much like him.
That is so funny, Pam. I want to back up a little bit, and you had mentioned that things were a little bit better, at least as far as soybean production, because we did not experience such a bad drought this year. But then talking about dairy prices, what needs to happen? Because you, of course, can solve this. You, of course, have all the answers to everything. What needs to happen for our dairy farmers to get a break?
Oh, and I'm sure for any dairy farmers listening, if you have 150 listing, they've got 150 different solutions. That's part of the challenge of the dairy industry. If you are in the Midwest, you have one set of resolutions that you think would help. If you're on the West Coast, you have another set of resolutions. East Coast, same thing, because we're all producing for a little bit different market. You know, in Wisconsin, it's all about cheese. It's all about hard goods. On the West Coast, it's all about powder and whey, sending it internationally. On the East Coast, it's a lot about powder, yogurt, that type of thing. So everybody's kind of in their own niche that way. And pricing of the milk for those products changes based on what it's being used for. So right now, they are just wrapped up what we call federal milk order hearings in Indiana. Don't ask me why Indiana. Don't ask me. All I know is that that's where they've been. And boy, although I love my industry kids, if you made me sit through 8 weeks of federal milk order hearings, I might walk away an incredibly inebriated and very bored person, because it's some heavy lifting to go through federal orders and make sense of what is there and then listen to people eloquently speak on what they believe should happen with graphs, charts, etc. My tolerance for that is not real good. So God bless them. So what they're trying to do is basically come up with some updates for 2024 versus 1934, when we started pricing milk out of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, based on the distance it had to travel to where the consumers were going to use it. So it's an antiquated system. We all recognize that. It's what we've got. It's what we've been dealing with. But I do like to see that there might be progress coming in some revisions and changes that will help our dairy industry as a whole. Sometime hopefully in 2024. That's the hope. You know, the rest is always up to kind of the producers that are on our cooperative boards that are asking good questions about where's the next market, what are we going to do, how are we going to serve not only our current clients, but grow that market share and maybe even beyond our borders. So it's always been a struggle to be in the dairy industry my entire life. I grew up in dairy, still obviously connected to dairy. It's been that way since I was a wee sprout, and it doesn't look like it's necessarily going to get resolved anytime soon.
I know, but it's just so disappointing, Pam, that it just always feels like our dairy farmers are always getting the shaft. They just can never, they can never catch a break. There's never a break.
What's the phrase? They buy retail, sell wholesale.
Yeah.
I mean, they're always caught. Their margins are always shot. So that's why you're seeing so many young farms that are trying value added on their farm, where they're, you know, deciding, hey, I'm going to try to do my own kind of gelato, or I'm going to do my own kind of A2 cheese or something unique. The Kelly girls up in Fond du Lac County that are doing ice cream, you know, everybody's trying to do just a little bit.
Can you stick around for another break?
I can.
Absolutely fabulous. She is the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke, now with her show on a number of civic media stations across Wisconsin. If you have a question, 844-967-2789. Pam, we're going to talk a little bit more about CAFOs, what's the situation with that in Wisconsin, and also what people can look forward to if they listen to your program across the Civic Media Network. So stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin's on the board. And the fabulous farm babe herself and a new member of the Civic Media family, Pam Yonke, is with us. I just want to remind everybody real quickly, tomorrow is Wednesday. Every Wednesday, 10:30, Kristen, new mama, joins us.
New mama!
New mama joins us from 10:30 to 11 o'clock. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. Kristen will be here starting at 10:30. Right now, though, Pam Yonke, let's talk a little about CAFOs in the few minutes that we have left. These are the concentrated animal feeding organizations. We've had a number of guests on over the last couple of months talking about these. And you have said, you just said in the previous segment, Wisconsin farmers want to do the right thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And this is an issue for them, and I can't imagine as it's an inexpensive issue to try and solve.
No, and that's exactly right, Jane. And that's something that I work really hard to try to help non-farm consumers piece together what's happening on the farm. I've been on your program before, and one of the first things that irritates me is when people start using acronyms, or the acronyms they use tell me exactly how they feel. Factory farm. You're telling me how you feel. Your observation is from the road. You see a big building. You start making decisions, rendering a verdict, and you don't know anything about that farm. Today, you have to understand that as farms get big, some of the reason they're getting bigger is because it's mom and dad. It's son and daughter-in-law. It's probably brother, maybe their kids. It's multi-generation farm families that are working together to make sure that everybody has enough money for health insurance so that their kids can go on vacation and have be afforded sports so that they can have a life like you want. They have to be able to make more money as a unit. Plus, there's labor. Nobody's labor expenses are going down. So when you see that large farm and you start mentally judging them, I want you to tap the brakes literally and think about it for a minute. Because again, as we've pointed out time and time again, more than 90% of all the farms in Wisconsin are family farms. It's just more family members that are involved today. The CAFO situation is one of those that always seems to draw immediate attention in a community because they're reviewing the permit, et cetera. The permit process has gotten just downright awful in Wisconsin. And it's nobody's fault, really. The regulations are complicated and very specific. We have very few staff, for example, on the regulatory bodies, DNR, DATCAP, the regulatory side. They are taxed. We've got land conservation staff that are working as hard as they can to try to come up with resolutions, come up with the right plans. And what other people may not stop and think about is, as you pointed out, this technology is incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
So large farms may have a chance at affording the proper technology if they get the grant monies we talked about under the Farm Bill, or the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture makes grant monies available as well. Then somebody decides that they're going to get in a fight with them. Now I've got litigation that I have to try to either pay for and keep my ground or collapse my project after all that investment. There goes another family farm. So I see this happening all across the state, and the time delay. Time is money in everybody's business. Dairy farms are the same thing. Dairy, livestock, whatever it may be. And the other thing that, again, people don't realize is you want a small family farm. You want something you remember from when you were a kid that really no longer exists.
Yep.
Red barn, white picket fence, ma and pa and bibs and,
chickens in the yard.
Yeah.
I appreciate your goal. It ain't going to happen. The farms that remain financially are not able to do what they want to do when it comes to waste management, even if they're not regulated. So again, these grant monies, both on the federal and state and regional scene, are critical. And like I said, I know dairy farms today that have a better sewer system than the city of Milwaukee. How many times have you heard about the city of Milwaukee basically opening the drain and letting her go in Lake Michigan? Now, if a dairy farm did that, they would face fines so incredible that would put them out of business, and more importantly, the angst of their neighbors and the state. So a lot of farms have built city-grade systems to handle the waste. They're doing it because they want to get ahead of finger-pointing or problems. And again, like I said, let's just take a look at some of our urban city centers and how they manage runoff. It's the same kind of runoff, folks.
Yep.
It's just that, again, the dairy farmer individually gets the attention. Meanwhile, it's an oh whoops, or we had no other choice, or well, okay, play by the rules.
Really appreciate your perspective on that, Pam. It's important, and that's why I think you're such a valuable resource for civic media. I really do. So we only got a couple of minutes left. What can people expect when they tune into your show?
More of the same. Honestly, my staff and I, all we do is work to make sure that people are not connected with agriculture understand. I don't want to ever condescend to my farming audience. They are my heart. They are my number one priority. But there's a whole lot of room in the middle where we can come together on different conversations, different things, and stories that everybody loves. What don't you know about your Wisconsin Christmas tree or cranberries or ginseng? That's what we're going to be talking about, as opposed to the cutting edge conversation right here with you.
Oh, yes, our cutting edge conversation about your favorite classic Christmas song. And we're skating right on the edge there.
Very important, Jane.
And very, very controversial.
Gotta have some fun. Gotta have some fun. Or why are we doing this, kids?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you can catch Pam Yonke, the fabulous farm babe, on a number of civic media radio stations. Early shift. She's on from 5 to 6 a.m. And when are you? Now I want to come party at Pam's house, because obviously this is the place where everyone stays overnight.
I'll be your driver. I can't. You'll drink me under the table.
All right. Sounds good. Pick a date, Pam. We'll be there.
I'm looking at my calendar now.
Right. Pam Yonke, thank you so very much for joining us. I would love to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas, and we will be in touch, my friend.
Same here. A pleasure as always, Jane, and thank you so much for the help with the Civic Media Group.
You betcha. All right. Stay close. When we come back, tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Yep.
Kristen will be here at 10:30. Coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network, we have the news, followed by the wonderful Todd Albaugh program. That is followed by Matt Flynn Direct, and then, of course, Devil's Advocates from 4 to 6. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, Dan Schaefer. And thank you to all of you for calling, for texting, for leaving messages on the live stream. Without you, we're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great day. Stay here. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you.